You're listening to a conversation recorded at the East Conference 2024 in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to EastCon 2024. We have our next guest in the seat. We're excited to have him. We're going to let him introduce himself, tell us who he is, what he does, and all that kind of good stuff. So here we go.
Hey, my name is Joel Gordon, and I am the Senior Solution Specialist for a little company called Matter Hackers.
Awesome. So let's talk about first Matter Hackers. Tell us what it is, our listeners.
Okay, so here's the elevator pitch. Matter Hackers is the largest 3D printing solution specialist in the U.S.
Oh, awesome!
So we're basically a whole bunch of 3D printing nerds.
Yeah.
But I've done contract work back and forth with Matter Hackers for years. They're based out of Los Angeles. I came on full time 2 years ago as senior solution specialist, and they really had me come on more because I'm old and I know how to run machines.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, we've really expanded. So you really started out as a 3D printing company, but now it's lasers, pew pew, and we have CNCs and vacuum formers and all sorts of amazing things. Really anything that you need for your makerspace or mad scientist lab or R&D space, whatever you need.
That's really awesome. You know, it's funny you said that. I had to go back to that. We're old. I've been in education 30 years, and people say, you know so much. No, I'm just
old.
I've been burned a lot of times. I've failed a lot of places. I've learned all the right ways to do it after the wrong ways.
Let me give you the benefit of my mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's
but so, and now that you told us what Matter Hackers is, I see your partnership with East. Let's talk about that partnership with East and what it's brought to Matter Hackers and brought to East.
Oh, at East. Well, you know, I have been partnering with East since back in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
You know, so that long time ago, I ran a little place called the Innovation Hub, and I was executive director there. And Matt Dozier was a member of our board at that time. And we had an East Lab in the Innovation Hub. We have been friends, been doing projects together for all of those years. And Matter Hackers and East is like, you know, chocolate and peanut butter, I guess. it's just a great fit. We have Matter Hackers is a huge EDU clientele.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine, you know, nowadays it's it's not just about coding and programming anymore, although I definitely remember those days.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really about physical computing, and when I say physical, I mean literally digital to physical. Additive manufacturing is being adopted internationally just hand over fist at this point. It's really, in fact, in the last 6 months, it's been insane. I mean, watching the growth, and not just the growth, but the advancements, really, really amazing. And East has always been at the forefront of everything, so they see the value of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we're old friends, and Matter Hackers is definitely the company to go to, so we made it happen.
So do you get to have any deeper involvement other than supplying the stuff with any of the East projects that kind of stand out?
Sure. Yeah. Beyond the stuff, we also do, of course, customer support. We do training. So one of the big things that I've been doing with East is really teacher training. We've been doing workshops around 3D printing. I do a monthly virtual with them. That's just something that Matter Hackers loves doing for them. Classroom involvement, all of the aspects you can imagine.
Yeah. And have you had any of the programs where you guys have supplied the stuff, the training, to you and say, hey, this is what we're doing with this? Or even during that process, be like, hey, how do we, or hey, we need your help.
Again, all of the above. I get a lot of calls, not only from teachers, but students. Yeah. I just got a few minutes ago, I was sitting having a cup of coffee and my phone buzzed and I picked it up and it was an East student that I'd met in Northwest Arkansas. And he said, hey, I've got a question for you. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I love it. But, you know, along with that, prior East teachers are calling me. One of my favorite East instructors, Carrie Baker, who was at Lincoln Junior High School in Bentonville, she is now out on the East Coast. She's teaching out there. There's unfortunately no East at her school, but she still stays involved with East. She knows the conference is going on right now, and she's texting me and telling me what's going on in her classroom. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Keeping up.
So you'd spoken to this earlier about, you know, the coding, which we're still kind of doing, but not at the level we used to do.
No.
And I want to ask a question. I'll try to get it out correctly. But you were at the Innovation Hub. And the Innovation Hub to me was, I've got an idea. It's a wonderful idea. I'm going to show up, and you're going to help me bring this to fruition. That's like a layman's quick thing to it.
Yeah, that's a great way to...
You know, I want to sell spaghetti sauce, and I need to have a jar, and I need to have marketing, and I need to make a label. You know, that's basic. But, you know, or I've got this design.
And we have literally done that, but it was... I have to think about it. It was a salsa. That's it.
Yeah. See, I remember. It's all coming back to me now. So, but you know, what I was going to get at is where Matter Hackers is and where we are in the current situation is that now you don't have to have as much knowledge. You can say, I want to build this, and I can use this vacuum molder, and I can do this in my own home or at this school. And so used to, a kid would go, I want to do these things, and then we had to find the other people that could do the coding or do the actual 3D.
Absolutely.
And now the technology's gotten to the point where you can take some of that out of the way.
Oh, sure.
The beautiful part is you're still going to have those kids that were some of us that went, I still want to take that apart and figure out how it works.
I'm still one of those kids.
That's me too. So, I'm going to take it apart and in pieces and put it back together. So there is that. But now I think that's where we're talking about how quickly we're moving forward. You know, part of me is like, well, those alien ships are giving up more in technology every day. But but no, what's happening is that we've gotten with AI and with where we're moving. Now, someone like me who's not a super hardcore coder can get some stuff done with some drag and drop.
Oh, yeah.
I can take these blocks of Java and drop them right into the order that I want, and I'm making something.
What's so funny about AI, too, you know, when Arkansas was developing the computer science curriculum for the schools, K through 12, I was lucky enough to be a member of that committee, and I focused predominantly on 8th through 12th grade, along with a lot of other incredibly talented folks. But one of the things in the 8th and 12th grade that we really tried to get a lot of movement in was we couldn't say robotics. You know, back in those days, robotics felt like more of a game, you know. Yeah. And we didn't want it to be. We wanted it to be serious. So so we used phrases like automation, you know, things like that. Things that felt more industry level.
Sure.
But, yeah, with AI... AI sort of codes the way that I do. Everybody thinks that I'm like a brilliant giant coder. I'm not. Code is one of those things that I use to get to where I need to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's really useful. But I am not a genius coder. What I tend to do is exactly that. I sort of drag and drop. You know, I find pieces of code from other projects, and I plug them in, and I go, how did that work?
And that's some of the best coders in the world. They do the same thing.
Yeah, it's hacking. That's hacking,
it's
right?
Hacking, yeah.
And that's kind of what AI does. AI sort of hacks. The little bit that I've been playing with it recently, it's really surprised me because it's really working at my level. But, you know, I told you guys before we actually started recording, AI both thrills me and terrifies me.
Yeah.
But more and more it thrills me. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, beyond coding, right? It's also, I have friends who are animators. I have, you know, friends who are working in, I worked in film and television for years. So there's that whole industry. There's strikes going on right now. But on another level, there's this interesting idea that, you know, everything that comes along, any new technology, it has to hit the Frankenstein wall first, you know?
Yes.
Is it terrifying? Are we creating a monster?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then there's this moment that happens. And for me, the moment happened actually with my own daughter, who's going to be a senior this fall. She was working on some things. She was on her Chromebook and goofing around. And I looked and said, well, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, I'm just playing. I'm thinking about writing a movie. And I was like, what? Really? You know, nothing that she'd ever been interested in before. And it was, you know, it was a fleeting thing. But I was amazed because she had all of these illustrations that she was, you know, putting together with this dialogue that she was writing, and she's doing it all with AI.
Yeah.
And it suddenly occurred to me, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm not the most brilliant coder. I know how to use it. But there, I know there are a lot of people who want to accomplish things. They have big ideas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always been about access to tools, right? Makerspaces particularly are about access to tools.
Yeah.
This is another tool. Yeah. And now it's accessible to everybody. And it makes me really go, you know, how much genius is out there mm-hmm. that has just never been able to shine because, you know, people are too busy with their... You know, I mean, if they're lucky, they've got a 9-to-5. If, you know, or they're, maybe it's a 9-to-9, you know, and right. and not having the time to learn technologies and embrace those technologies. But, you know, having access to the ability now is remarkable. And I'm, you know, I'm, like I said before, I'm an old dude, but I'm really excited to see what happens in the next few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that. I was talking about the healthcare industry and what AI is going to do for creating jobs there. That between the AI response to you and I, before it hits the actual doctors or nurse practitioners, you know,
right.
this next level of health provider we're going to provide that takes this data, still going to have a human element in there. People, I think it's what scares more people about AI is we're going to all be robots. No, that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it could. I mean, I'm not going to say it couldn't, but because I don't want to be, you know, that
well,
guy.
Well, do you remember we were all terrified that our jobs were going to be replaced by robots?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's the same thing now.
Yeah.
It's what we don't factor in is how many new jobs are created.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, it really is about keeping up. You know, if you're, I always told people, if you're concerned about a robot taking your job, learn to build the robot.
Yeah. Our visit here.
Right.
Yeah.
The moment you see these kids, you realize, wait, the robots are going to take our jobs. These kids are going to take our jobs.
Which is good. That's what they're there for. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, everyone we meet, the charisma, their personalities.
Oh, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny, we had one of the kids, Kevin, who has started here in grade school. And we interviewed him years ago when we first started doing this, and he's now leading the tech team. This is his last year.
Yeah.
And he's just so full of energy, and he's learned so much. He's doing such big projects. You're like, oh, wow, all these kids are just so exciting. And it's great to see that.
No, I mean, that's the you know, the big relationship for me with East is I I like to surround myself with geniuses because it makes me look smarter.
My grandfather said that all the time. Yeah. Hire people smarter than you.
Absolutely. Why would you not? Right?
That's exactly right.
And, you know, for all the industries that are out there, hey, if you want a good recruiting opportunity, come to an East conference.
Oh, really?
Get them young.
Yeah. You know, we interviewed a mayor of Keough just a while ago. And she uses the East, a little small community like that. She uses them for GIS and for painting crosswalks. And we said, you should be talking to all the mayors in the state of Arkansas.
Oh, absolutely.
And they should be here. You know, the Chamber of Commerce should be here. These people should see what these kids are doing. And they go, wait, this is in my town? You know, because that's
right. The thing, too, is that the sort of stuff that industry is really asking for now, and that's been my experience in the last couple of years, is we're becoming less specialized. Mm-hmm. We're becoming much more generalized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my day, learning CNC or machines like that, and I was a designer and a fabricator. I still am on some levels. But working particularly in film and television, when you were designing, if you were a designer, you were designing. If you were a fabricator, you were fabricating. If you ran a CNC, you ran a CNC.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm starting to see... the real growth in the United States in the last 2 years is companies under 50 employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really, I think everything that we've seen, you know, emerge from Silicon Valley with companies like you look at a company like Axiom here, mm-hmm. and you look at all the companies that have grown out of Axiom, all these small companies that are doing amazing work now. You're seeing the same thing, but it's at a hardware level now.
Mm-hmm.
And it, And, you know, here's the example I always end up giving is you guys are old enough to remember Kinko's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So for those of you out here who don't know, so Kinko's used to be this place that when we were in college and we needed to make copies of a paper or whatever, you'd go to Kinko's and you'd use their printers.
Yeah.
And you pay for each copy that you made. So that's a makerspace, right? You pay to go and use a machine. You have access to these tools, and that's a makerspace. So Kinko's today, it was FedEx. Kinko's, now it's FedEx Office.
Yeah.
And now you don't even go in. You just email them, mm-hmm. and you say, hey, I need this copied. I need 80 copies. I want it spiral bound. I want plastic covers. And then I want you to put it in a box, and I want you to ship it here. Right. So what we've done is we've watched this evolution from makerspace to micro and distributed manufacturing spaces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that is really where we're headed in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these small companies that are, you know, back in my day when I was a kid back in the 70s and 80s, those were like. You know, job shops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hey, kids, once upon a time, we used to take our TVs to get them repaired instead of just throwing them away and buying a new one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's starting to happen again, right? You used to be, your cell phones got thrown away, and now you have shops everywhere that mm-hmm. do cell phone repair.
Yeah.
So that is growing rapidly.
Yeah.
And industry is embracing it thoroughly. And the idea of a generalist where, you know, back, like I said, back in my day, you did this job. Now they're looking for designers who can also, you know, not only run a 3D printer, but design for 3D mm-hmm. printing, which is really an important skill.
Yeah.
And maintain the machines. Right. So, you know, imagine that micro distributed manufacturing where you've got a shop that has, you know, 200 3D printers in it. And you've got 20 employees that are running those machines and maintaining that and making product.
Sure.
It's, you know, that's growing faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
And it's growing on its own within industry. What I'm, if I could, you know, as like when I retire, you know, we'll say, if when I could retire, I could, you know, like open a little business to retire, it would probably be that Kinko's for the 21st century, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Where,
yeah.
you know, you walk
maker
in.
Shop.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. There's a, and that's the thing too, you know, not everybody wants to be a maker. They want to be a creator, mm-hmm. which right. is different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be able to walk into a space and say, I have this idea and I need this thing and just get it. Would be remarkable. Right?
Yeah. My dad owns a body shop for 40 years, and the pandemic, you know, the supply chain hit a
hole. Yeah.
One interesting thing that happened is he found two companies, one out of Oklahoma and one out of Texas, four or five guys at each shop, and four or five people, because there's some ladies that work there. But they do fabrication of some parts that he could not get.
Right.
Now, this is metal parts. This is fenders and things like that. But he's now found two or three companies that are doing certain clips that you couldn't get that are
no, not at all.
And so we're seeing exactly what you're talking about. Those are going to put the big suppliers, you know, in dire need, because the small places, the body shops in little towns across, you know, the U.S. are going to go, I'm just going to call this maker shop that's 30 miles away or down the street.
And I know I can get it
in a day, you know, or 2 days, or, you know, or it's already in stock.
I mean, we had two things. We had COVID, of course. We all remember that.
Yeah.
And then this, you know, boat got turned sideways in the Suez Canal.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're, you know, $10 billion a day or something. And we have these new words that we're using, things like reshoring manufacturing.
Yeah.
Which is a great word. Reshoring manufacturing.
Reshoring.
But is it, you know, manufacturing, we, you know, in the United States, we've had this image for a million years that manufacturing is a giant factory mm-hmm. that's belching smoke and it makes one thing. And imagine what happens, and we've seen it, you know, what happens when people stop buying that one thing.
Right.
You know, then we have brownfields, we've got, you know, empty buildings, mm-hmm. people out of work. But imagine instead of one 800,000 square foot factory making one thing, imagine 800,000 tiny factories that can make anything.
Yeah.
and put them in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's these kids.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know, the interesting about this, we talked about education for the longest time. There's 10 things you can do. You can be a doctor, or a lawyer, or a teacher. You know,
STEM. It's STEM, scientist. Okay,
yeah, that's what you can do. But this opens up the idea. These kids all go, well, no, there's like 5 million things I can do.
I just got, people send me things on LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll go, hey, we're looking for this. And the one of the craziest things I got recently on LinkedIn was a company that is hiring commercial astronauts.
That's awesome.
And I just went, wait, what?
Yeah.
They said, we're currently recruiting. It's a 4-year program. We're training commercial astronauts for work in space.
That crazy.
And that's going to happen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I used to, you know, I'd go to an East conference and I'd give a big speech and I'd go, hey, who wants to live on Mars? Well, guess what? You know, I mean, it's feeling a little more real these days.
Was it NASA looking for 100 right now? NASA's looking for, or someone's looking for 100?
Yeah, like 100 volunteers
to go to something? To go to Mars.
Yeah.
Hey, I hate to be the time cop, but hey, Joel, if folks want to find out more, what's the best way they can find out about Matter Hackers and you?
Definitely go to matterhackers.com, MatterHackers. That's the dyslexic kid doing that. Matterhackers.com for 3D printing or for CNC or for lasers, all the things, all the best toys. And as far as I go, I don't do a lot of social media anymore, kids.
Yeah.
But Instagram.
Yeah.
TinkerGuy1 on Instagram. You can hunt me down there, and that is about the only thing I do anymore.
Cool. Yeah. I get that. Right. Yeah. Hey, Joel, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Finn. I'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening to this conversation recorded live at the 2024 East Initiative Conference in Hot Springs, Arkansas.